values, skew our financial reports and estimates, devalue the continuity of our former ways, upset markets, and command our immediate attention for transformational change in the name of rescue. R for renewal, E for environment, S for society, U for understanding, and E for engagement. We will discuss these issues and more in future editions of World Ocean Radio.
Listening to KBOO Portland.
So, how much is that golden doodle or adorable Frenchie in the window? Probably a lot, especially in terms of suffering for its parents, who in many cases are living lives of misery in a puppy mill. On the next episode of Voices for the Animals, we'll be talking with Robert Hensley, senior counsel for the ASPCA, about their push to pass Goldie's Act, a bill now in Congress that would ensure better conditions and oversight for the hundreds of thousands of dogs now suffering at the hands of large-scale dog breeders.
The dog that Goldie's Act is named for was one of the dogs that lived in squalor and tragically was allowed to starved to death over several months while USDA inspectors observed her deteriorating condition, but did nothing to help her.
That's on the next Voices for the Animals, Friday, May 26th at 10 a.m. here on 90.7 KBOO FM. If you love animals, and especially dogs, don't miss it.
Did you know that KBOO is streaming live on the web? Well, you do now. Just type www.kboo.fm, click on Listen Live, and you've got us. Just another example of how KBOO 90.7 FM Portland works for you. It's your community radio.
KBOO Community Radio is now on Venmo. Follow us and send a donation anytime at KBOO Radio. That's at KBOO Radio. Thanks.
KBOO.
Well, welcome, everybody. Stevie, welcome.
Hi.
You're listening to Art Talk Bus Stop. We're here with Stevie's son, tattoo artist, musician, multidisciplinary artist. And let's meet everybody before we start our conversation.
Cool.
My name's Erica Thomas. I use she, her pronouns. I'm the host of Art Talk Bus Stop and also an artist. Nice to see everybody.
I'm Ash. My pronouns are they, them. And I'm an art student at PSU here with Erica in her class.
I am Sebastian. I use any pronouns. I've been here a lot now, but yeah, I'm a student at McDaniel.
Yeah.
My name is Opal. I use she, they pronouns. I'm a student at McDaniel.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome. And welcome, Stevie.
I'm Stevie. I use they, them pronouns. I'm a guest on this show. I'm also a tattoo artist, a musician, meme creator. I don't know if that's an art, but I think it is at this point.
Yeah,
for us high schoolers, yeah. It is.
Great. Stevie, would you tell the students a little more about who you are and what you do?
Yeah. I'm a tattoo artist. I tattoo. I think I'm just repeating myself from the last question. but I also play music. I'm originally from Honolulu, Hawaii, and I moved to Portland about 15 years ago. I've played music. I've also wrote a little bit. I used to be in theater. I feel like I've dabbled in a lot of stuff. I used to printmake. I used to publish books for a little bit, too.
I think it's nice for the young people to hear a little bit about what your pathway was to, mm-hmm. you know, going from being a young person that was creative, interested in art, theater, alt music, all the things that you were interested in. What did that look like for you being an artist as a young person?
So I grew up in Hawaii, and I think my first like art form that called to me was music. I played in a bunch of like punk and hardcore bands in high school. And it wasn't really a huge scene for that where I grew up, and there definitely wasn't like a lot of people who look like me in that scene. You can't tell from my voice, but I'm Korean American, and most people in Hawaii are not white, especially where I grew up. And so I remember not seeing myself like really represented in like the media that I was consuming. And so it was hard for me to like find a connection for or a pathway for me to actually see myself succeeding. But a part of me still wanted to try, and through a lot of like battling with my own internalized racism, like I somehow made it to where I am today. And there's yeah, a lot of things that probably that I had to like figure out on my own before I got there.
Yeah. How old were you when you moved to Portland?
I was how old was I? I think I was 19. Mm. Yeah. So yeah, I had made it through my senior year in high school, and I like dropped out, and one of my bandmates suggested that we moved to Portland in order to pursue our music career. But none of my bandmates moved up here with me.
Oh, no.
So I just moved here, and I kind of waited, and still waiting 15 years later.
Wow. Yeah. Harsh.
Yeah. Do you guys, what do you guys do for, like, for art?
Do you
want to
go first?
You can go.
I really like to write and read.
Cool.
I play guitar, and I sing. That's basically it.
Nice.
My level of art is like writing and performing and all that jazz. So yeah. It's not the more physical art, but it's journalism. So
yeah, that's great. Yeah, I think you know, I started with music and now I'm tattooing, and for most of my life I didn't see myself as like a visual artist. So tattooing wasn't like a step that seemed natural to me and something I had to figure out. But what I'd realized is that even the other forms of art that wasn't in visual arts kind of informed how my tattooing formed. So even though I'm not, I wouldn't call myself like a strong visual artist, like I'm not that good at drawing, I see like the ideas that I formed while writing and playing music kind of informed that art.
How would you describe your style of illustration as a tattoo artist?
Well, I'm kind of still figuring it out, but I think most people see my work and kind of just think that it's really cute, because that's kind of the things I'm attracted to. Like, I like things that are cute. but I also sometimes like things that, like, look kind of tough, which I feel like kind of like reflects my identity as well. Not that I'm like tough, but like this kind of like somewhere in between these like binaries of like cuteness and toughness.
Yeah, there's a good balance there.
Yeah, yeah. And I think when people look at me, they can kind of see that too. Like, they think I might look tough because I'm covered in tattoos, but really I'm just a goofball who's like has like cartoon noises going through my head at all times.
Yeah.
Maybe it would be nice to hear a little bit about how, like, your education pathway, and that can look, I mean, that in the holistic kind of sense, where you might have learned skills in various places that could include school, but also could just be, like, through your friends or skill sharing and things like that. How did you learn how to do tattoo work?
I learned to tattoo because one of my best friends started tattooing right after the pandemic started. He was tattooing out of his house, and it wasn't something I ever considered that I could be doing, just because I've never really felt welcomed in like a tattoo shop environment outside of like being a customer that gives money. But my friend was doing it out of his house, and he's like, I think you could do it. His name is Nikki Joe, Baby Ugly on Instagram. Give him a little shout out. And yeah, I was like, yeah, let me try it. And, you know, I used the machine to pull a few lines on an orange, and I was like, how hard is it to trace a line? That's easy. I was really wrong about that. It's actually really, really hard. And yeah, that's how I started tattooing, yeah.
How old were you when that came about?
It was only a couple of years ago. So right now I'm 35, and I think I was 33 when I started tattooing, which is pretty late for, I think, the average person getting into tattoo. So in Oregon, it's for the most part mandatory that you have to go through a tattoo school in order to become a tattoo artist in Oregon. And I would say most of the people that I was in school with were like in their early 20s. And yeah, I just felt like the old person in the room. Yeah.
And so before that, what were you, I mean, you know, you had all these other creative practices that were happening, but what kind of work were you doing before? So I assume you're doing tattooing full time.
I'm doing tattooing full time for the most part. And mm-hmm. like sometimes I like sell stuff on the internet, my art and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What did your career look like before you switched to tattooing?
So before I was tattooing, I was actually bartending. And I was doing that for a couple of years, bartending and serving at a restaurant. Managed a restaurant for a little bit too. And yeah, I would say most of my 20s were spent working in the service industry, and art was kind of like a side hustle.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly something I never made money off of, or like marginal. Probably losing money making art, if I'm going to be real. But yeah, and a couple of years ago, I decided to like quit drinking. And so with that, I decided to bartending wasn't for me. Being around that environment wasn't that fun. Yeah.
You were talking earlier about, you already mentioned this, sorry. You already mentioned this a bit, about you playing music and then kind of migrating to tattooing.
Yeah.
How do those correlate?
So that there's been a long gap of like starting to play music and tattooing. So when I started playing music, I was probably 15 years old, playing the guitar, playing in a really bad punk band with a couple of my friends. And that was kind of my obsession for most of my life. Like, I'm still like pretty obsessed about music, and like I'm constantly like looking for new music, or like examining music, or listening to other people talk about music. Like, I find anything music related super fascinating. And then I moved to Portland, and I didn't have anybody to play music with, and so I decided to write, because I felt like, you know, I have some ideas that I could just like put down. So I wrote a couple of short stories, tried like long form writing, but nothing really came to success out of it. And around that time is when I started getting really like heavily politicized. So I was like thinking about politics more, and thinking about my identity and how I wanted to reflect that in my art. And that led me to joining this theater program that was actually social justice based. And it kind of helped me bridge that gap of like learning to apply my like identity and political knowledge into an art form. And from that point on, like anytime I like wanted to make art, think about art, I was thinking about that bridge between like political identity and the art form. And so even in my tattooing, while a lot of it is like really cute, or what we call traditional tattooing, which is based on like just old American traditional tattoos, I do try to find ways to find how to apply my political thoughts into my art form. So whether that just like be like a cute angel and devil like holding hands, like I'll throw in like something like, you know, be gay, get tattooed, like as a way to kind of just, you know, be cute about it and cheeky. There's like little ways that I try to like put myself into my tattooing like that.
Yeah, go for it.
This is just like a really curious question,
yeah.
But did you tattoo your own tattoos, or where did you get your own tattoos?
Like the tattoos on my own body?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a few tattoos that I've done on myself. They're mostly on my legs because it's like the easiest place to reach. But yeah, anywhere on my thighs, which you can't see, they're... It's usually where I save to tattoo myself, because if I want to like practice or try something, like I usually want to try something on myself before I do that, to subject that to anybody else.
What's your favorite tattoo you have?
On myself?
Yeah.
Let's see. I have a lot. I would say it's probably like my back piece. So it's my entire back from pretty much my neck all the way down to like my upper butt. It's based on a old Korean painting or a Korean drawing, and it was kind of turned into a like a tattoo style thing. But there's also like a crane on the bottom. It's three women from like the 1700s Korea, and I presented it to one of my friends who's also a tattoo artist, Elena Chun, and she's also a quarter Korean, and so I thought she'd be a good fit for it, and she's like turned it into this amazing back piece. And she blew up the image, which was about like 2 inches by 1 inch. That was like the only reference we could find. And when she blew it up, there was actually like this like little baby in the background that one of the women are holding. And when I originally presented this idea to her, I was like, I like this image because it has three women. And I was like raised by three women, my mom, my sister, and my grandma. And then coincidentally, there's like that little baby with little bun buns on it. And I was like, oh, it's me. And I like the back piece a lot, not only because it's beautiful, but also it took like about 30 hours to do. So it took about 6 different sessions. And it was not easy. Like, it is like a test to kind of myself of like how much I can actually endure, like, which is what I love about tattooing, is it really like challenges you and like shows you a side of you that you probably won't ever know about yourself unless you get tattooed. Like how to like sit with pain, how you like can meditate through something like that. Yeah.
You mentioned that you were raised by three women. Mm-hmm. And just out of curiosity, did any of them have an influence on your art style now?
You know what? They probably have in indirect ways, but most of my family, I don't think they consider themselves artists. I think for the most part, like, at least my mom and my grandma, didn't understand like my interest in art, and they were just stereotypically like, you know, you need to go to school and graduate and, you know, be a doctor or a lawyer. And as a young person in like, I don't know, like the early 2000s, I was like really rebelling against that. I was like, ah, like I can be so much more than that, like I'd rather do art. Yeah, so I don't know if they have had a direct influence in my art, but they've had a direct influence on like my perspective on life. And I think a lot of the perspective on life that I have informs the art that I do. Yeah.
As someone who has very like traditional Chinese family members, mm-hmm. how do you find other outlets to kind of express sides of yourself that aren't brought out by that in the home life?
So I kind of struggled with that because in my early years, because I didn't see myself represented in like the forms of art that I like, you know, in the early 2000s, like there wasn't many Asian Americans playing music in like the mainstream. I think I remember like the DJ of like Linkin Park was like the only person I could remember. Also, Karen O of the Yeah Yeah Yeahs, she was a big influence. But for the most part, there wasn't a good representation. And so I really struggled with like figuring out if I even like was proud to be Korean, which kind of sucks to say out loud. But I think that's just like an internalized thing that I had. And as I've gotten older now and I've kind of dissected that, I realized that that was just like kind of the forces outside of me kind of making me feel that way. And so now I'm like rediscovering and trying to connect with my Korean identity more as I'm older. And I wish I did when I was younger, but, you know, I didn't really have the guidance of anybody or, yeah, any sort of representation that showed me how to do that.
For sure. How are you, because you mentioned your back tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
What are some other ways that you kind of find your identity and culture in your art?
I do a lot of like research on Korean art forms. Anytime I see like a book on Korean art or yeah, there's actually also a lot of Korean tattoo artists coming out of Korea, which is kind of crazy because it's kind of illegal to do it, or illegal for the most part in Korea to tattoo. So like, thanks to Instagram and social media, like, I can connect with it in those ways. But yeah, I'm talking to my Korean friends, you know, talking about our perspectives and our experiences, and it gives me a way to, like, kind of make those connections in my brain of, like, how we are all having kind of, like, this shared experience, and how we want to, like, how at least I want to present that shared experience into the world. Do you guys like tattoos? Is that, like, why you guys brought me on here?
12 tattoos.
You have 12 tattoos?
Yeah.
Should you be saying that on the air? I feel like that's I don't know what the legality of that is.
I did them all. So okay. It's not, I'm not harming anyone by saying that. So, yeah, I think it's a really cool art form, and I think it shows a lot of self-expression to do that.
Yeah.
How does it feel to provide that to other people?
It's a really special experience for, you know, whenever somebody, like, has trust in me to, like, permanently put something on their body. For me, it's really special, and, like, I like knowing that this, like, change is affecting how they see themselves in this positive way. Yeah.
What was your favorite tattoo that you've ever, like, done?
My favorite tattoo that I've ever done? I think I'm in the process of doing one right now. So I'm started doing back pieces recently, so large scale tattoos, and I'm doing one on my friend. Traditionally, it's called the Battle Royale. So it's a eagle, snake, and a dragon, and they're all kind of, like, tangled up. It's a traditional American traditional tattoo design that has been done over and over again. People just kind of put their own twist on it. And so it feels cool doing that on one of my friends who trusts me, but also, like, it makes me feel a little closer to, like, tattoo history, like, being part of that, and replicating, like, such a well-known tattoo design. Yeah.
Was your family supportive of you, of your artistic endeavors when you were young, and are they supportive now?
They weren't supportive when I was young. And I would say my mom's okay with it as long as I can, you know, make a living out of it. Every time she sees me, so she lives in Hawaii, so I don't see her very often, but every time she sees me, she gets upset about all the new tattoos that I come back with. But she's in support of, like, me doing it as an occupation, and she wants me to, like, start my own, like, tattoo shop and be independent from that. And so, yeah.
Can you speak to the community that you have found within the tattoo world here in Portland and elsewhere?
Yeah. It's wild. When I started tattooing, I only knew a couple of tattooers. Most of them being white dudes, which is fine. Like, the tattoos I've gotten by them were awesome, and I chose them for a reason. I think when I started getting into tattooing, I didn't think there was going to be that much shared experience that I was going to find in that, especially in Portland. I didn't know too many, like, artists of color. I didn't know any gender non-conforming tattoo artists. But Instagram really was able to kind of connect me with people. And now I feel like I have a really good grasp on the community here. And it's way more diverse than I originally thought it was. And, you know, I hear people saying, like, oh, like, I wish, like, I knew more tattooers of color or queer tattooers. And I love getting asked that question because I can, like, connect people to different people. There are resources even online for Portland tattooers who share, like, their cultural identity. So there's, like, a whole, like, spreadsheet online of people's identities and where they tattoo out of. So if you're, like, looking for a specific type of person that, like, you share an identity with, that list is helpful. And then, you know, once I started getting more of a following on Instagram, like, I was able to get connected with more tattooers kind of around the United States and even around the world. Tattooing has allowed me to travel, and so it's allowed me to meet a lot of cool people. When I go out to travel and tattoo, or even when I get tattooed, I'm pretty selective. I have friends who are, you know, men who tattoo and who are white who tattoo, but I've decided I don't have enough space on my body to like let them tattoo me anymore, and I'd rather get tattooed by somebody who kind of has a shared experience with me at this point. And yeah.
How does it feel to see the diversity and creative aspects like art and music growing?
Sorry, can you repeat that?
How does it feel to see like more diversity and creative forms like art and music growing?
I'm super excited for it. Every time I see something online about a type of person who wasn't represented when I was growing up, getting big on the internet, I'm just, I get so excited and sometimes so emotional. I don't know if you guys have listened to the Lindas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're middle school through high school. I remember one getting into them, and they're just starting to blow up, and getting really emotional because that wasn't something that was represented when I was in high school. I remember seeing their shows and how, you know, they asked all the young girls to come up to the front, and if you know I was that age and at that show, I think I would have such a strong emotional reaction to that. So yeah, I'm excited for art right now, especially for young people, because I feel like young people are you guys are so connected to the internet, and it's just so much information, and you're able to have more of a voice. I know sometimes it can be overwhelming, but I feel like people are able to connect more to people that, you know, are like them or similar to them, and I feel like that's super exciting. Do you guys feel you have a community, either here in Portland or on the internet, or?
Yeah, I think so. It's kind of hard because Portland's very, very white.
Yeah.
But on the internet, I think there's definitely a big community.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
I mean, even for myself, like I said, I grew up in Hawaii, and I mean, there was definitely people who were Asian in Hawaii, but there wasn't a lot of Asians who kind of had this similar interests as I do, because I was into hardcore and I was into punk, and you know, my friends were into, I don't know, just whatever was on the radio. And so even in the early 2000s, I was using the internet to connect with people of everybody who likes the same band, you know, they don't live here in Hawaii, and I'll never be able to meet them, but you know, at least I can talk to them on the internet about this sort of stuff. So I feel like now having even better forms of social media probably connects you guys to, you know, friends all over the world. Yeah.
I have a curious question. You mentioned earlier that you travel to do tattoos. Mm-hmm. Do you tattoo people out of a booth at an event? How do you do that?
Yeah, there's a couple of different ways. There are conventions where people set up booths and get tattooed. I worked in a walk-in shop, which is basically it was appointments, and people can just walk in and see if there's time for anybody to get tattooed. And we have a lot of guest artists who come through there, so they'll be from another state or country, and they'll spend a couple days tattooing. And that was a good way for me to meet these tattooers and become friends with them, stay connected with them when they go back to whatever city they're from. And that was a good way for me to ask, do you guys have a shop that takes walk-ins or have guest artists? And if they have the space, I can make plans to go travel and work out of their shop. Yeah. So last year I was in New York, Philadelphia, Tucson, Arizona, LA, San Diego. Yeah. So tattooing has allowed me to just kind of work anywhere and travel. Yeah. It's really nice, actually.
Have you been, like, out of the country to tattoo?
I have not been out of the country to tattoo, but I also don't have my passport, so that's probably why. Once I get that, I probably will consider that more. Yeah.
What's your favorite place you've tattooed?
I think probably New York. Yeah, New York is just, like, such a wildly different place, and the vibe there is just on another level of intensity. It's fun, but I easily get exhausted, so I can only handle a little bit of it. But being there for a couple of days is really nice, and tattooing in that space is really nice too, because, yeah, it's kind of similar to Portland, where people who get tattooed are, like, collectors. They like to get tattooed by different people or tattooed by, like, traveling artists. And so there's a lot of people who are just like, yeah, like, I'll get this one tattoo. Well, in other cities, I think a lot of people have, like, their one artist that they go to, and they just stick to them. So,
do you have your own tattoo shop?
I don't have my own tattoo shop. Right now, I work at Scapegoat Tattoo, and I also work at Mortal Emblem Tattoo. Scapegoat has been around for about 17 years. It's on Stark Street. And Mortal Emblem just opened up. It's at the historic Lloyd Center Mall. And I know a lot of people thought that the Lloyd Center was going to get demolished a couple of years ago. But at least that's what I thought. But apparently they're keeping it open, and they're revitalizing it with a bunch of, like, small businesses, which is super exciting because we get to be a part of that. And, yeah, there's a lot of cool shops like Floating World Comics, and there's, like, a new record store. And, yeah, it's just an exciting time to be part of the mall again. And it reflects, like, me in high school, because I was a mall rat, and I hung out at the mall a lot.
Yeah, it's cool because they're not all corporate stores anymore.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah, like, yeah,
they're all independently owned shops. Yeah.
Do you plan on having your own tattoo shop in the future?
I don't know. I did actually have a studio for a little bit with one of my friends, and it was appointments only, so we didn't do walk-ins, and it got a little lonesome, so I don't know if, like, I'd ever, like, want to do, like, that. But maybe, like, a shop environment where there are a lot of artists. But at the same time, I don't know if I want to manage that many people. Yeah.
How do you primarily get clients?
Right now, I would say it's mostly through social media. So, like, using Instagram. Instagram's the big one, and working in a walk-in shop is also helpful for people just, like, moseying in and, like, wanting some sort of small tattoo, and then building a relationship with them where they're like, oh, yeah, I'll come back and get tattooed by you. Mm-hmm. Those are, like, the two biggest ways, I think, that most tattooers build a clientele.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which kind of sucks because Instagram has been failing tattoo artists, or all artists, actually, for, like, the last 2 years, kind of switching the whole platform into, like, a reel based thing, R-E-E-L, not R-E-A-L, but yeah, video based app. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it sounds like it's somewhat relationship based, that it's, like, you know, probably word of mouth a little bit, or.
Yeah. I mean, class, like, traditionally, like, you know, getting tattooed clients has been word of mouth, and, you know, with the introduction of social media, that slightly changed it. But, you know, what I've noticed with a lot of, like, new people getting tattooed is, like, they're not really sure how to go about it, how to, like, book an appointment, especially with it's can be really complicated right now for a person to get tattooed because of, like, how everybody's booking forms look different from each other, and I understand that it's super overwhelming. So a lot of people, if, you know, they know somebody who gives them a good recommendation of a tattoo artist, they'll just, like, go to them. And, yeah, and then building a relationship makes it easier for that person to get tattooed because they're like, okay, I know this person. I know how they, like, want me to, like, request getting tattooed. Yeah. Have you guys thought about getting tattooed, like, when you're older?
Yeah, I actually,
like, in an actual shop and not a, you know.
Yeah, I was actually about to ask a question about that. What part of the body would you suggest getting your first tattoo on?
If you're getting your first tattoo over the age of 18, which is, you know, what I would recommend. I would suggest getting somewhere like on your, you know, upper arm or on your leg. Those are a couple of easy spots, yeah. And yeah, they're not too difficult. What we call spicy sometimes, where it's like really painful. Yeah, usually it's not too bad there. Yeah. And I'd recommend, yeah, just getting something small. Yeah.
What are some, going back to kind of more music stuff?
Yeah.
What are some bands that kind of inspired you?
Let's see. So one of my favorite bands is called Botch, and they were from like the early 2000s, and they were broken up for I think almost 20 years now, but I'm actually seeing them for one of their first like reunion shows this Friday, which I'm really excited about. But yeah, who else? Yeah, it's like I mentioned earlier, Karen L. Even outside of her like kind of reflecting my identity, because she's also Korean, I just love the Yeah Yeahs, and yeah, the one album Fever to Tell is like one of my like desert island records, because it's just so good and diverse of like different sounds, from like angry to like sad.
Wasn't there a new Yeah Yeahs song?
Mm-hmm. Spitting Off the Edge of the World.
How was it? I haven't listened to it yet.
It's really good. Yeah, okay. That whole album is really great. Yeah. It's produced really well. It has an amazing sound to it.
Nice.
I actually went to see Yeah Yeah Yeahs, Japanese Breakfast, and the Linda Lindas in L.A. A couple months ago, and that was just like also kind of an overwhelming experience, because it was like three bands like with Asian American like women who are just headlining the show, and the last song the Yeah Yeah Yeahs brought out, Japanese Breakfast and the Linda Lindas, and they all like, I can't remember what song they covered, but they all played a song together.
Can you share a little bit about your band?
Yeah, I'm in a band called Carrion Spring. I believe Adam Cerisi was a guest on this show. But Adam's been in it since the inception of the project. I have hopped on in this last year. And yeah, we're like a hardcore screamo band. We yell. but yeah, we're still like... We have like a whole new lineup with just Adam and Phil, who have been in the project at its like early stages. And we are, yeah, writing new music. We're playing shows. We're going to be playing a fest in May in Chicago. Yeah, I'm excited for it. I haven't played music in a long time, like in a band. So it's been really exciting for me. I've never got to tour when I was younger. So that's also exciting for me, though I'm kind of like not looking forward to like sleeping on like people's floors and couches while we're touring. I'm like, gosh, am I too old? And like, I just want to sleep on a nice bed.
What festival are you playing at?
It's called Zagima Beach Records Festival. They host the fest, I think, every year, and it's just like hardcore screamo bands, nice. Punk bands. Yeah, it's 2 days long. Yeah, it's exciting because I get to see like some bands that like I grew up loving, and now I'm playing with them also. Yeah.
I know that you have music on Bandcamp, at least with Carrion Spring. Do mm-hmm. you? Is that the primary way you release, is digitally, or do you ever make hard media? Do you make records and tapes?
Yeah, so Carrion Spring has put out tapes and records, CDs as well. But primarily, I think most people catch us on Bandcamp or Spotify, or to come through shows, and that's where you can pick up records and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you guys like records? Collect records? Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
You mentioned earlier that you, I think, played guitar. Do mm-hmm. you do that in your band?
Yeah, I play guitar. I don't think I'm that good at it, though, because it's been a long time, so I'm, like, pretty rusty, but... it's funny because I've always approached music in this way of like, oh, it, you know, being super technical takes the life out of like the soul of like the art. But I think that's just an excuse for me to be bad at what I do.
On that note, Ash was saying maybe before we started, I think, that you, since you just started tattooing, that your sort of illustration practice wasn't very developed mm-hmm. when you first started,
yeah.
and that process kind of developed together. And I would love to hear, I think maybe we would all love to hear a little bit about how you did that. How did you develop as like a visual artist in that format?
Yeah, it was really challenging. I mean, it's still really challenging. Like, I struggle with it every day. When I decided to tattoo, I decided that I needed to apply for a tattoo school. But there was a year-long wait list for it. So in that time, I took a few, like, basic drawing and illustration classes online to kind of, like, get my foundations, because the last time I had drawn before that was probably in middle school or high school or something. It had been a long time, and boy was I bad at it. Like, I thought I was good at it, even, you know, as I was doing it, I was like, oh, like I'm so good still. But I like looked back at those drawings when I first started like drawing again. I'm like, whoa, this is bad. But it's wild to see how drastic my growth was in that time period, because I've been tattooing for about a year and a half now, so it's not that long. And for me, I could see the improvement in my own work, and there's still probably like a lot of growth there. And but I think doing something every day, even if it's, you know, even if you think you're not improving, if you're doing something every day and you're like keeping track of it, like it's easy for me to like look back at like my first couple drawings and seeing how much they've changed from now. But I think what kind of keeps evolving is like just like my practice and how I approach like even starting or getting ideas, learning to like use references, kind of like learning to critique my own work and figuring out like where I need improvement. Is really right now is really what's like helping me like improve my craft, but really I think like doing it every day is probably what's the most beneficial. Yeah, because I think a lot of people who love art sometimes find a struggle of like doing it every day and kind of feel like they're in this like same place for a long time. But I mean, if you're doing it every day, I think it's easier to kind of like reference your old work, because like I think we're all just going to continually grow as long as you do art. But yeah, I don't know. I don't even know what I'm saying, but yeah.
So you did go to school,
yes,
for a little while to learn how to draw a little bit. You took some classes, and you probably went to school to get a tattoo license.
Yes.
What other ways do you feel like you learned what you're doing? Like, is there like shared learning happening in your shop or with your friends who are in, you know, community of people who's tattooing with
yeah.
you?
Yeah. Talking to other tattooers, talking to my friends about, you know, tattoos and stuff. Yeah. Working in a shop, like being around that environment where I'm able to like watch people do things and kind of pick their brain has been really helpful. Yeah, the actual tattoo school, I didn't really learn very much, unfortunately. And most of the learning I did in tattoo school was exactly like talking to my peers about it and picking their brain. Yeah. Tattooing is interesting because it's not only just a like an art form. It's like a technical skill. Like, tattoo machines are all like tools. And so part of it was like learning how to use the tools, and I think that part attracted me more than the kind of drawing aspect of it, which I would say there are a lot of tattooers who would say they're not very good artists, but good tattooers. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I fall closer to that than being a strong artist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right, because there's like a certain kind of like there's like a physiological quality to it where mm-hmm. like you need to like make, in order to make a clean line, you need to have like a steady hand and you need to practice like probably different kinds of like pressure that you apply, yeah. but then also knowing like which kinds of needles make which shapes or
yeah and even like the person's skin, like that affects the tattoo too, and like how to kind of manipulate people's skin in order to achieve like a good tattoo line or shading or whatever. I equate tattooing more to like something like printmaking or like ceramics, where you're just like kind of refining how to use these tools in order to achieve what you want. Yeah, and tattooing is great because there is so many like old tattoo references that people are like, just copy this, just repeat it. We don't care if you're mm-hmm. making the same design. Like, mm-hmm. like there are designs designed to be just repeated and copied.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's one of the most like one of the more interesting things to me about the art form of tattooing is like how much it's very, like open source, I guess, or whatever, for lack of a better word, is like people borrow and steal all the time in a way that's much more like overt than the rest of the art world, where mm-hmm. it's like a little bit taboo, even though everyone still always does that anyway.
Yeah.
In the rest of the art world, but it's like very much accepted and like embraced as part of the culture of tattooing, is like the sharing quality of it.
Yeah. Especially like it's so weird because like, yeah, in old school tattooing, like they're very gatekeepy about like the technical skills of it, but the artistic side, they're like, yeah, just copy it, just trace it, like don't reinvent the wheel, just do the same thing. And then like the new school of tattooers are very like open about sharing information about technical skills, but they're very like, oh, this person copied my work. So it's kind of
yeah I guess that's true, that in the like in the sort of like height of like people's cultivating really particular artistic styles that are not traditional.
Mm-hmm. Which there's a huge new wave of like people coming into tattooing who come from like art schools rather than like, you know, from, you know, working class, which is like what it traditionally has been.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of like, new art school tattooers are kind of changing the face of tattooing, which is better, and there are aspects where it's worse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
What is the hardest part of tattooing?
The hardest part of tattooing? There's so many hard parts. Pulling a line is like so hard in tattooing. I think there's a lot of like mental energy that goes into it that I think at first it doesn't seem as obvious. I remember when I first started tattooing, just being like completely exhausted mentally and just like laying down and staring at the ceiling for an hour. And I was like, what is wrong with me? It's me realizing like, you know, when you're tattooing somebody, you have to be like really kind of emotionally open, because you're like, you're hurting somebody, you know, technically you're causing trauma to the skin. That's what tattooing is. And so you're like really have to be like aware of like not only the, you know, thing that you're doing, but hyper aware of like how the person's feeling. And so you're kind of like opening up those emotional channels to yourself, and it's just mentally exhausting. Not only that, but it's also physically exhausting. You know, being in the positions that we put our bodies through while tattooing isn't ideal for the human body. It doesn't seem like as obvious when I first started, but like being hunched over for like 2 hours straight or holding a vibrating like machine for 2 hours like really kind of taxes your body in these like kind of small ways that you don't really pick up until you're done with the day.
Yeah, that's the experience of being tattooed. It's my only experience with tattoos is being tattooed, but that feeling is like, it's a pretty like intimate experience that you have with the artist, mm-hmm. where like there's like physical contact with your bodies, and like you said, it is like sort of skin trauma. It's like you're creating a wound on that person, or a scar, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder like what ways, if you think about ways to, like you mentioned that it's like sort of there's an openness that's required of you, but like, are there ways that you like consciously think about creating an environment or like a relationship with that person that is like so that they feel trusting or they feel like cared for or held in a certain kind of way?
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like, especially with the new wave of tattooers, a lot of us are thinking about ways to make our clients feel safer and feel like they have a voice in the tattoo that they're getting and the permanent art that they're getting on their bodies, which I think was a critique of old school tattooing. And that's also one of the ways that I think I apply my politics into tattooing, is figuring out ways to create a safer environment for folks who aren't just white dudes. So making sure that people know that they have rights as clients and that they should feel safe, and if anything feels uncomfortable, that they should feel empowered to say hey, I don't feel comfortable. And it's not, I don't think it's always obvious for people who create tattoo shops or are tattooers to understand that it's not easy being a client. And I think a lot of that comes from my own experience of getting tattooed in my 20s and not feeling always super welcomed, or feeling I can be I don't think I like this. Because there's definitely tattoos that I got when I was younger that I felt a little pressured into agreeing with my tattooer, and I didn't feel I had the autonomy in that space to be actually, I don't want to do it this way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Have you ever gotten a tattoo covered up or altered because of that?
I have a couple of tattoos that I have covered up. Then there are some other tattoos that I have that I just kind of deal with. It sucks because I know that feeling of getting a tattoo by it and then later realizing oh, I don't like this tattoo because I had a terrible experience with this artist. And it just every time you see that tattoo, you feel that, or you remember that, even if people are oh, I really like that tattoo, and you're yeah, I had kind of a bad time when I got that tattooed. So I remind myself of that when I'm tattooing others.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, trying to make sure that they feel comfortable and just happy listening to them. It's you have to be really open and feel out your clients, because sometimes you can feel they're on the fence of things. They don't know if they're allowed to say anything. And so I think it's my job and our job as tattooers to really state to the client hey, it's okay, it's your body, we can do it the way you want it. I'm gonna give you my 2 cents if I disagree with you, but you can make that decision for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because there are certain weird rules of tattooing that sometimes don't make sense, but I like to just put it out there because I'm this is just the way old school tattooers did it. If you don't want to do it that way, that's okay.
What's an example of one of those?
I think a common one is people who get tattoos that are facing them, that would be upside mm-hmm. down. So if it's on your forearm, you would have a tattoo that's looking at you, versus if it would be up, if somebody else was looking at you. So I tell people so that would be upside down, and aesthetically, your arm's going to be resting down for the most part, and that's how people are going to see it. But if it's for you, we can do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But a weird one is if they're faces on the tattoo, a animal head or a person head, you want the faces facing inwards towards your body rather than facing outwards towards your body. That's an old tattoo rule where... I think it's based on it's just supposed to look better, but I don't, at this point I'm I don't even know if that's true. I don't know if it looks better or if it's just because it's been done that way for so long that that's what the brain kind of wants to see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah
I mean there's similar rules with composition rules.
Yeah,
it's if you break them you should break them on purpose, basically, mm-hmm. in photography or other kinds of forms that I've worked in.
Yeah
and I'm that's one. Yeah, you would want the faces facing toward the center of the frame instead of out sometimes, but then if you break it that can do a different thing.
Right
Yeah, well, maybe, so we're kind of coming up on the end of our time. So if you have any last questions that you want to ask the McDaniel students, now's a good time.
Yeah. What grade are y'all in?
I'm a junior.
Junior?
Sophomore.
Sophomore, nice. All right. What are y'all working on right now?
Just in newspaper, we're coming to the end of a cycle. Is that right? Yes. So just turning in stories.
Nice. Yeah. And you're doing, you said, like, writing as, like, a form of art that you like to practice?
Yeah. Because I, currently I'm the social justice editor, so I do all of the social justice stories in newspaper. And, yeah, we're coming up on the end of a print cycle. Nice. So we'll be putting it all in print and sending it out.
Cool. And you do that, and you play music as well?
Yes.
You said you play guitar and sing?
Yeah.
Do you play with other people? Do you play by yourself?
I wish I was more collaborative, but I don't really like sharing with other people.
Yeah, no, I think a lot of people feel that way. Even people my age, even people I'm in bands with, I think feel that way.
I definitely do more solo stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Heck yeah. And do you guys feel like it's, you know, how do you feel about your art forms? Do you feel, like, happy with where you're at?
I think that I'm more better. I think writing is more prevalent when it comes to music, when it comes to, like, lyrics and stuff, and I care about that more, I think.
Yeah.
So I'm working on doing more guitar and less writing.
Nice.
You're going to have to repeat the question.
Are you just happy with where you're at with, like, journalism? Or is there struggles? Like, where...
I say that I'm enjoying, like, this time with Erica a lot more than I am doing, like, my print edition at the moment.
Yeah.
But that's mainly just because it's super stressful.
Yeah, no. No, I think a lot of people feel like they're not allowed to explore, like, other forms of art if it's not, like, the one that they're supposed to focus on. And they feel a lot of guilt around that. I think that's probably related to... honestly, capitalism and making us feel like we need to specialize in one thing and be the best at one thing. But as I've gotten older, I've kind of accepted, at least for myself, though, like, hey, I'm not going to be the best at anything, and that's totally fine. Like, really, like, I should learn to, like, love the art form for what it's doing for me and, like, the kind of areas of improvements that I find in that as I do it, even if they're, like, small and incremental. I've accepted that, like, my journey with art will never end. And so anytime I'm feeling like, oh, I'm not that good at this, I'm not even close to being, like, super good at this, I'm like, it doesn't matter. Like, for me, it's about, like, the little wins every day and, like, finding joy and, like, learning something new or, like, discovering something new.
That's an amazing endpoint for the show, I think.
Yes.
Stevie, I'll give you a chance if you'd like to share anything to do you have anything to promote, or would you like to give the audience some links or handles in order to find you online?
Yeah, my name is Stevie Sun. You can find me on Instagram. It's at @FromTheMargins. All of my links should be up on my bio. And yeah, I play with the band Carrion Spring. Find us on Bandcamp, Spotify. I think that's really it.
Great. Yeah. Well, thanks for joining us. It's been a pleasure to hear your story.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks.
Art Talk Bus Stop airs the fourth Wednesday of every month at 11 a.m. Tune in at kboo.fm or 90.7 FM on your dial.
Connect with your favorite community radio station on social media.
Our Facebook page is facebook.com/kboomradio.
And follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/kboo.
We also have a YouTube channel at youtube.com/kboo radio.
We also provide content to the free music archive.
An interactive library of high-quality legal audio downloads.
That's at freemusicarchive.org/curator/KBOO.
You can find all of this and more on the KBOO website, kboo.fm.
Thanks for listening.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up next is Jazz Lives, right after these news headlines.
Bienvenidos a un breve informativo en su estación comunitaria KBOO 90.7 FM.
Hoy miércoles 24 de mayo del 2023. El ejército de Ucrania dice que sus fuerzas todavía controlan partes de Bakhmut y están tratando de rodear la ciudad oriental diezmada luego de que los mercenarios del grupo Wagner afirmaron que capturaron completamente a esta ciudad después de meses de sangrientas batallas. Wagner dijo que sus fuerzas partirán de la ciudad desde el jueves hasta el 1 de junio, dejando a Bakhmut en manos del ejército ruso. Mientras tanto, durante el fin de semana, el presidente Vladimir Zelensky apareció